Oh, Lord, how inscrutable are your ways. I am speechless over the six beautiful men and women you have brought to me for ordination. How beautiful the ceremony was. What you are doing is beyond my scope to comprehend. I cling to you, Lord, with all my heart and strength to lead us in your ways. Amen. Well, we had a very special week on the 1st of November, which has been celebrated as the Feast of All Saints, which I found really interesting. We'd been planning this ordination, and the only thing I didn't have was the date, and I was waiting on the Lord to give us the date. And 2 days before this feast day, he told me that he wanted the ordinations to happen on the Feast of All Saints. So everybody hurriedly got ready for that. And I think it's really appropriate because the Lord is really teaching us to work with the great cloud of witnesses in heaven, to interface with them, join hands with them in order to bring in the harvest of souls. They are there to help us. And this really brought home his purpose when he chose this date. We ordained 12 people who have been qualified for quite some time, and were reaching out for ordination. And it blew me away that out of all the invitations, we ended up with 12 altogether, 6 men and 6 women. It's the Lord's doing. I didn't plan it that way. And immediately following this, I found myself in a trial of discernment. And all of this was sparked by a visit from a very dear, special soul, faithful heart dweller for the last 2 years, and also a priest of the Roman Catholic Church who left because of the corruption of the hierarchy. He couldn't take it anymore. He didn't want to be under it. And he came to visit us, which was a great blessing. But then I also recalled Rome and how far the church had departed from the simplicity of the first apostles, and wondered how the Lord saw our interaction with the establishment, so to speak, and it troubled my heart. So I cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, will you speak to me? My heart is burdened. Please, Lord, let us all do the right thing." My Father, I remember when I wept over the church and tried to comfort you. Please, am I going in the right direction, or am I being too fearful of contamination? There are so many beautiful traditions that are scriptural that I have little knowledge of and could certainly learn about from him. I'm longing to follow St. Francis and his evangelical simplicity. Father began, "My daughter, it is truly my plan that glamour and splendor do not shine forth from my churches because they draw a certain element that is corrupt and insincere. This has been the problem from the very onset of Rome. The simplicity of my son has not been honored. Because men respect splendor and riches, they honor the rich and look down upon the poor, but do not understand that my son preached to the poor in simple settings many more times than he did to the rich and luxurious settings where corruption was rampant. These are the things of the flesh, and you see now why I insist on simplicity with you and speak firmly against acquiring things of great beauty. The flesh and the spirit are at war, Claire, on every front." And then I looked down at my hand. He had given me an amethyst bishop's ring, a really beautiful ring. And when he said that, I said, "But Lord, how can I wear this ring?" Father began again, "That's a long story. There are times when I wish to bestow an honor upon one who has proven themselves faithful in shunning riches. Even at the temple, when the time comes, the riches, resplendent with glory, will shine forth from my son and my presence. This will be in a climate that does not vie for riches and honor, but in a climate that all vie for the honor of servanthood and lowliness. You have not exceeded those bounds in your chapel. So you see, I do allow for the windows of heaven to be open in a way that is pleasing to the eye. But I remember when you discouraged me about decorating it any further." Father continued, "As a warning to you to reel in the desire to be affluent, Your chapel was pleasing to me, Claire. Truly it was. How sad it is gone. But you have retained the essence in the space you now have. Greed and entitlement enter in, and corruption begins. Only the seasoned and unattached who are anchored to me can withstand the grips of affluence, and of course those who have chosen this poverty lifestyle. When my son returns, this wealthy adornment of churches will not be allowed. But for now, you are within the bounds. Oh, Father, I know that I'm not perfectly detached, because I feel so badly about what will happen in the Vatican with all the relics. They have floors and floors and basement floors full of relics. I could just see myself in scuba gear trying to retrieve them after Rome has been thoroughly destroyed and covered by water, and that ugly spirit of acquisition would rise itself up and I'd lose the simplicity that I had before, which I love. Father continued, Claire, there will be no relics of the saints' bodies left on earth. They will all be taken right out of their reliquaries, I might add. I thought about it for a moment. We have a cross with bone from St. Peter, St. John, St. Mark, and Luke, as well as fabric from Our Lady. Oh, Lord, my heart is bursting with the desire to recall the treasures and wonders from Adam until now and seeing them put in museums. But that, too, could be a distraction, he continued. I will send you out for the sheer joy of it, Claire. But I have other much more weighty matters for you to attend to. And I answered him, and I know you will give me the weighty grace to do a good job, right? Recently the Lord has sent us a precious, well-seasoned priest, a very kindly and spiritual man that carries the mantle of traditions taught to him in Rome. He came to us because he could no longer take the corruption and sin in the church. My greatest struggle is keeping intact the purity of Jesus' church from the first century. St. Francis of Assisi was before a cross in the church of San Damiano in Italy. The building had fallen into ruins, and the Lord spoke to him and said something on the order of, "Can you not see my church has fallen into ruins? Go and rebuild my church." St. Francis, in his characteristic childlike simplicity, began recruiting helpers and bricks to restore the old church. But later it was revealed to him that the ruin was throughout the body, from the highest to the lowest believer, twisted by the distorted ways of the world, woven into his church, which was seriously lacking in true faith and holiness. Jesus appointed him to go and restore the true values of the church, based on evangelical poverty, purity without any corruption from worldly values. Everywhere he went, he set the example by serving the lepers, shunning the palaces of the great, and tirelessly reaching out to the people with examples of holiness not seen since the days of Jesus and the early church. Thousands reformed their lives. Many of them became nuns and hermits and sought to live this simple, devout life while serving others. So here we are again, guys, back where we started from, embracing the way, as it was called, the way of Christ in the early church. And I greatly fear being drawn off course by the ways of Rome, the laws, the rubrics, the religious spirits. Not a good religious spirit, but one like the one we are constantly combating on this channel. Yet there are good things that Holy Spirit has initiated in the church, such as the veneration of relics, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, the role of Mary, the great cloud of witnesses, and especially the true presence of Jesus, body and blood, under the appearance of bread and wine, which he left to strengthen us. And most of all, this is the only church which can claim it was begun by Jesus. These are all legitimate and date back to the first century. So how does one weed out those things that are of man and not of God? As it is, Rome has carried forth much of the authentic tradition of the apostles and faithfully supported Holy Spirit's movements through the church. For instance, the charismatic movement. But in this wheat field, the enemy has stealthily sown tares over the centuries, which have overgrown the wheat. And now the field is only fit to be burned, or so it seems. Only with his grace can we discern where to draw the line. So this dear man shows up on our doorstep, and everything in me wants to encourage him in his mission. But the long shadow of Rome also looms behind him in the doorway. This is something only our Lord can remedy. Only his grace can assure me that all is well and encouragement is in order. With many tears, I sought the Father's counsel, because from the beginning of my vocation, I had a burden to see the church restored to Jesus' way of ministry, which St. Francis lived in the 1200s. Jesus began speaking as these thoughts were swirling around in my mind. He began about Father. It is true, he is a Roman in bearing, but he does have a soft heart that is very pleasing to me. Don't oppose him, Claire. Truly, his heart is for me. Give him the cooperation he needs to step out into ministry and carry on the remnant church. He may not recognize your priesthood, but I do. In heaven, there is neither male nor female confinements. All are free to act according to the desires of their hearts, which I myself have put there. Don't fret, little one. He feels more badly about it than you do. Recount the indignities of my being in my passion, and you will feel right at home. Thank you, my sweet Lord. Please help me to do that. I hold you tightly when you hurt, Claire, and I hurt with you. Don't ever forget that. And at that point, I felt the responsibility to ask the Lord, what do you have for our heart dwellers? He began, my dear children, I must tell you, I am a God bereft of consolations because of the condition of my church. What I have established in pristine purity, man has consistently undermined and dragged through the mud of this world. As I am selecting new men and women to fill the roles I established on earth, it pains me greatly to see the degradation and confusion sown by the enemy. Ezekiel and Claire have been empowered and appointed to bring new servants into the church, servants with my heart, servants with profound self-knowledge of who they are not, servants that have no other agenda than to feed my sheep and rectify the heresies that will lead so many to hell. Neither of them are qualified for this position, and that is another explicit reason they were chosen. They have nothing on their own to offer. Rather, they weep before me, begging for my assistance and direction. This makes purity much easier to maintain than having to direct one well taught by man and worldly principles. There is much error and wrong motive to combat in forming those souls to lead. So you have two worthless servants who love me with all their hearts, and all the rest is mine. The direction I am going in is far removed from the Vatican and what sprung up when the church was moved to Rome. It is also quite different than what was taken over by a budding Pharisee mentality that slowly crept its way into the Eastern Church at Jerusalem. The catacombs are more of a home for me than any of these. Here the raw reality of combat with Satan and the world was lived every day. Brotherly love was paramount to survival, and all things were shared equally. The fabrics, the chalices, the accessories for the liturgy were earthy, plain, and simple, exciting no lust or desire for anything or anyone but me. This is as it should be. Everything common and within reach of the lowliest Christian. In this place my Shekinah glory descended upon the hearts that were utterly broken away from this world and grounded in self-sacrificing love for me and their brother. This is why I talk so much of suffering on this channel. It bends and draws your spirit away from the carnal nature embedded in you since birth. It calls you away from distractions, and things that make it impossible for you to stay focused on me 24/7. Can anyone attain to that, you ask me? Well, my saints have, through prayer and my grace, conquered that nature and care not what they wear, where they live, or what they eat. The food they ate was not of this world. Rather, they were like me. And when he said that, I was immediately reminded of the Samaritan woman at the well, beginning at John 4:27. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want, or why are you talking to her?" Then, leaving her jar of water, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come, see, a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" I wonder if they were blonde. "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." That's from John 4. Jesus continued, "This is where I am taking you, heart dwellers, who have chosen the steep mountains of brotherly love. There will be little left inside of yourself for you. Everything will be conceived out of the needs for your brothers and sisters to worship and know me personally, profoundly, and familiarly. This, too, is why I am asking you to call upon the saints and angels. Engage this family, heart dwellers. Do not let your unfounded fundamentalist fears keep you from embracing all of my body in heaven. They are sent to help you. They are equipped to help you. Not as God answering your needs. No, as brothers and sisters answering your needs. They are just vessels. And why are they able to do this? Because I have equipped them. They were faithful on earth, and so in heaven they are given a much larger territory to provide for through my provision to them. You are missing out, you stubborn ones, you fearful ones. You are missing out on the corporate body and are so restricted to time and space that they are lost to you. I have opened the heavens for you to walk in. You have only to put your mind there, and you are there. Put your mind there and see who walks up to you and introduces themselves. Then test the spirits as you test me. You will find yourself surrounded by an eager group of brothers and sisters longing to enrich your life on earth, that you may bring forth much fruit. Understand that heaven is your home, and you are still connected to the Father, your source, by that invisible tunnel-like cord through which you will pass if you die. Do not allow fear to deter you. Rather, enter into high praise and worship, and watch heaven's veil dissolve as you find yourselves in the Holy of Holies with the Father. For all other trips to heaven, seek me out in a most perfect place of your imagination, and reach for me when I come to you. Take my hand and allow me to walk the terrain of heaven with you. Times are descending upon you even now as we speak, where the thickest darkness ever experienced on earth is about to take place. I am talking from my perspective, but nonetheless, it is happening, and without these ties to the great cloud, without these relationships, counsel, guidance, and provision I have given them for you, it will be much harder. They will still continue to work with you, but the disadvantage will be that you don't acknowledge their presence or communicate with them. Change this now, before this darkness makes its final descent. Reach out to the cloud and work with your brothers and sisters before things become critical. And especially reach out to my mother, who has nothing but joy, kindness, and the intention to help you go deeper with me. She longs to make your journey into my arms much shorter. But you must ask, believing that she has been given this authority and that she will indeed meet you in that place. So I am doing a major work building up my church right now as the corruption is being torn down. No longer will I administer from Rome, but from Jerusalem. Prepare yourselves, my people. Purify your motives. Break up your unplowed ground to receive the new seed that will soon grow into my church, restored on this earth.